Be seated. Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we read part of one of the creation stories. And in that creation story, we heard that the earth at the beginning, the cosmos at the beginning, was a formless void. Hebrew word for that is funny. It's tohu vavohu, formless and void. And yet we also heard that the Spirit of God swept over the waters, vibrated those waters to the extent that they begin to create life, and all that is everything in the universe came through that action of God's Word. God's Spirit. In fact, the cosmos, the stars, and the sun, and the moon, and the earth itself, and all of the things in it were created in that story. Even humanity, which was given to be a caretaker of the earth, to be responsible for all of the things that are good in the earth, all that God saw and called indeed very good. But there's another story of creation, a second story, if you will. It comes in chapter 2 of Genesis. It's an older story by all accounts. It's a story of a garden that God creates, places in a wonderful spot between a couple of rivers. And in that garden, God places a person. And almost immediately after creating that person and God together realize that somehow that person can't get it done by himself. And so another person is created, a person to be that one's helper. And together, they are given the opportunity to live and grow into the blessings of this garden. This is, of course, the story in which those blessings turn to chaos and into curse when the serpent comes along and the fruit is partaken of, and the guilt is shared among all. This is the story in which, as this action takes place, these two begin to notice that they are naked, that they are exposed, and they begin to be fearful of the God that created them and brought them into this wonderful place. Now, somehow, a fearful place, some place where they need to find shelter and hide from God. The text says that the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And when they hid themselves and when God came looking for them, they said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And I hid myself." How much of our lives in our world is engrossed with this hiding of ourselves, hiding from that which we are fearful, hiding from that which is a part of our lives that we don't know how to understand, hiding from a part of our world that causes us to think that we are less than the good creation that God once upon a time spoke into the cosmos and vibrated into existence. Our world, indeed, is a series of hiding from one place to another, being cautious of what steps to take next, what places to go where we might be comforted and cared for, and yet always in the back of our minds wondering, is there something out there that will take care of me, will give me the comfort that I need. Sometimes it's the things of this world that we hide behind, the masks that we wear, the possessions that we accumulate around us, or the image of what we think the world wants us to be, that causes us to hide and pretend that we are something else, something that might be more attractive, more desirable more compelling. Even the arrogance and the pride, self-righteousness, the envy and the coveting, the hatred, the cruelty and the violence that we both perpetuate and are recipients of, victims of, comes from this sense of our hiding from one another and from the ways of this world. And indeed, we too cry out to God, "I hear the sound of you, and I'm afraid because I'm naked, and I hide myself, and I don't know how to do anything else." And yet into this situation of our world steps the psalmist, who gives us the words to say, "Lord, you have searched me out. O Lord, you have known me. You have found me indeed, even as I was hiding. You know the places that I go and the places where I hide. You know everything about me." And in a sense, these are unusual, surprising words of God's grace. That God would know our secret thoughts, that God would know us in our hiding places, that even God would come and search us out. Surprising in the sense that we would not embrace ourselves in those moments, and yet God is the one who reaches out to us and says to us, "I made you, you are mine, and I love you." In the movie The Lion King, Simba is the young cub who is growing up in the world, trying to learn the ways of the world, has his own ambitions and his own fears and anxieties. He takes those anxieties and he hides behind them and he uses them for his own benefit. He thinks he should be king even before he's ready, even before he knows, as the Bible says, his right hand from his left. And in his arrogance and fear and assumptions, he gets himself into trouble. He finds himself in a place that he cannot hide from, when fears are bearing down on him, when things happen that are beyond his control, and even those around him that he thinks are supposed to love him tell him things that make him very afraid and unable to think that he can live continually in the comfort of his family and his community. And he runs away. He goes to a place where he thinks that he cannot be found because he is hiding from that which he is afraid. And even though in those places where he finds friends and he finds ways to continue living his life, he still has those fears about what had happened, what I was to become, who I am. It takes the spiritual guide of the story, Rafiki, the monkey, ape, I suppose, to be precise, to come and point it out to Simba that you don't even know who you are. And in that moment, Simba sees his father, sees the one who had told him once upon a time, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made, but you have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten your place in the world. You have forgotten who you are to be for the sake of yourself and the sake of others." Henri Nouwen, famed Catholic theologian and spiritual guide, says it this way: "We forget so quickly that we are God's beloved children, and we allow the many curses of our world, the dark places of our hearts, to darken us, to hide us. Therefore, we have to be reminded of our belovedness, and we have to remind others of theirs." That's exactly what Jesus does when Jesus comes to these would-be disciples and calls out to them, "Follow me. Come and be my disciples. I know who you are. I know what you've done. I want you on my team anyway. I have found you. I have embraced you, and I love you. Even in his encounter with Nathanael, who is a little surprised that Jesus knows so much about him. How did you get to know me? Nathanael says to Jesus. And it's more than just having seen him under the fig tree, isn't it? It's that Jesus has seen into Nathanael's heart, just like he sees into our hearts. And Jesus reaches into that heart and allows it to be revealed. Revealed to the extent that Nathanael perhaps is one of the first to make that beloved declaration, "You are the Son of God. I will follow you wherever you go." I meet so many people, or hear from so many people, in one way or another, that no, I could not be a disciple. I cannot be one who is beloved by God, for I know the secrets of my heart. I know the things that I have done. I know the ways that I have failed in the past and continue to fail and know that I will fail in the future. And you see, we are hiding still. We are using the stuff of this world to put us in a place that we think we are popular, ways that we think that we are good enough to be in this world. But I'm reminded that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Do you remember that Jacob in the Bible was a cheater and Peter had a temper? David, he had an affair and Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure and Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham, he was old. And you remember Lazarus? Well, he was dead. There is always some reason to think that we are inadequate, that we are not up to the task for which God has called us, not up to being the wonderful, good creation that God has called us to be. And yet that's the very moment that God finds us in our inadequate hiding places, reaches out to us behind our masks, and behind even the fears and the shames that are part of our existence. And we need only say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amen.